This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca.
And as of September 13th, I'm Joelle Goldman. And today we talked with Andre Soriker, the CEO of Sameroom. Michael, what'd you think?
Well, it was a fascinating conversation, actually. We covered everything from competing with Slack to immigration and what they have to deal with, trying to bring people over. They hire engineers from Russia, which is where they're from. And so it was incredibly interesting to hear the process that they have to go through and the process that still lives in the U.S., which I largely wasn't aware of. What did you think, Joelle?
Yeah, that was definitely really interesting. And I loved hearing about the story of the pivot and how they kind of found a new opportunity that no one else is doing. And they're really leveraging the fact that they don't have any competition at the moment. A lot of lessons in there. So yeah, let's get into it.
Rocket Ship is proudly supported by
Bench is an online bookkeeping service
that provides you with tax-ready financial statements
from professional bookkeepers. Go to bench.co/rocketship to get 20% off.
20% off your first 6 months today.
Today.
Wistia is a video hosting platform built specifically for business. If you're using video as a part of your marketing strategy, you need to be able to measure its impact. Wistia is helping over 175,000 businesses do just that with premium video hosting, lead generation tools, and in-depth video analytics. For more about Wistia, visit wistia.com/rocketship.
So Andre, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about what you're doing at Sameroom.
Sameroom is a is kind of a multi-protocol gateway service that offers interoperability to different real-time chat systems. So you can bridge conversations between, say, different Slack teams, or Slack and HipChat, or Skype and IRC, or Gitter. We support about 13 different products right now.
And from my understanding, you guys have kind of had a bit of a journey to get here. Tell us a bit about how you got started. And I think it was going through Techstars.
Yeah. Techstars was our true start. We began the journey by realizing that, the world needed a much better communication system, to replace the sort of the older team chat solutions that were around and not, getting better. And, this was very early 2013 or late 2012. And we built a product that was definitely good enough to sort of immediately start gaining some traction. And that's how we got into Techstars. And it was called initially LitChat. Then we renamed it to Kata. We spent 2 years building it, all the way up to December of last year.
And then what did the marketplace look like in 2012? Was it like Yammer and HipChat, or were there some others?
There's really just HipChat and Campfire, and Skype. Skype, I think, was really the biggest thing. HipChat was the official thing, but we actually couldn't use it because it didn't work in St. Petersburg, Russia, for some reason. Not because of anything getting blocked, just connection was so unreliable that it was unusable. Google Talk was big, but there just wasn't something that really worked. And we weren't the only ones who realized this. Obviously, there were at least 10 companies that I could name that actually built products in that exact space around that exact time.
Yeah. So, right. So December comes along and you have Slack.
Yeah, we all of last year we really had Slack,
okay.
Like a lot of Slack. It was this really pretty thick cloud, and we, for just to sort of set the stage, for every million that we had raised, they'd raised 180. So that skew is kind of where it stops getting interesting, because it really doesn't matter what you're doing, mm-hmm. how good your product is. And we realized that, you know, we had to pivot the company.
So, but during that time, what was it like kind of going up against, or, you know, competing in the same market as Slack at that time? Were there things that you had tried to gain market share?
Yeah. And we did, you know, we did pretty well initially. I mean, it was a fair playing field. HipChat was the monster at the time, and it was easy to deal with. Mm. But the thing is, Slack, you know, they were stealth for a long time, and so they actually got a bunch of these pretty hot Silicon Valley companies to use the product early on. And what ended up happening was, you know, they just took the market that we were gunning for, the market that we were really going for. These were people just like us working at startups, you know, or slightly larger companies. And we ended up being the product for, you know, like everybody else. Well, you know, we had traction in Russia, in Poland, in Ukraine, in India. But that's not really the traction you want. We want traction here.
Right.
So it was really tough, really tough. And those kinds of products are very sticky. You know, once a product gets established, it takes multiple like weekly articles in the New York Times for you to really try to do something else.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it's hard to pull a team of 30 or 50 people to trial these products easily. Once you kind of have a solution, you tend to stick with it unless there's a really major reason to change.
Yeah, but with Slack, you know, people changed very quickly. Well, no problem.
It was that much better than HipChat. We did the same, but even getting them to try Slack, it took about 6 months to decide to try it. And then once we tried it, everyone loved it and we switched over. But, I don't know if we would have tried three or four versions, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very tough, I mean, if you're one of those small vendors, it's a very tough game.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And, backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination.
So where did you discover this, the pivot? Where did you come up with that idea?
As we were selling Cato, our version of Slack, you have to believe, as a maker of one of these products, you have to believe that the entire world is going to use it. It's going to be universally accepted. It's going to replace everything. And if you don't believe this, you're a heretic, essentially. So all these companies, even the smallest ones, that's what they believe, that their product is going to rule the world. It's going to be a complete monopoly. And we started to doubt that it's possible, right? We saw these teams at larger companies kind of organically divide across a set of products that really fit their needs best. Like Skype is really good for external communication.
Right.
It's probably better than anything else. So it's really tough to replace Skype with Slack in certain companies. And by tough, I really mean impossible, I think. You know, Chatter is hard to replace because it's just so tied into Salesforce, you know.
Right.
Maybe eventually, but you just start seeing these things. And once we started to believe that fragmentation was actually getting worse as opposed to going away, we pretty much had to pivot. We had to solve the problem of fragmentation. And luckily at the same time, we realized that we simply didn't have the time and money to, get Cato to the point where it could stand on its own.
Right, right. So, how long did it take you to kind of build a new application? You have Cato running, you have the team kind of doing both. I assume you have to do some support. How long did it take you to get something else to market?
So, 6 weeks.
Six. Wow.
Yeah. Cato also took 6 weeks. We tried to build very fast to see if it would stick. So March 1st was when we very quietly made Same Room available. Then we went to the launch conference. It's kind of where we talked to some people about it. But I think our first paying customer was March 6th for Same Room.
Wow. And were you working with your existing customer base on this?
With Cato?
Yeah, like, did you sell it to that existing Cato base?
No.
No, okay.
No. We did eventually announce Same Room to all of the Cato users, but that was much, much, much later. We stopped working on Cato, just cold turkey, in January. And it kept running. It's still running, actually.
So was it difficult to kind of get your team on board with the change and keep everyone really motivated to tackle a new problem? Did you face any pushback from the team?
We were pretty big. We were maybe 18 people, which is, you know, relatively big. And then we went down to 8 when we made this change. So, you know, most of the people didn't have a choice. But the rest of the team, you know, it wasn't, we just said, this is what we do now. And my co-founder, Peter, he basically built the structure behind Same Room of pretty quickly. And he brought it to a point where the rest of the team could just start adding services, integrations, you know, HipChat, IRC, Skype, Hangouts. These things are essentially just horizontal additions to an existing infrastructure. So that infrastructure was, once we put that together, the team knew what to do. The biggest problem really was trying to understand how to get users, how to get customers.
So who, like, is this a distributed team problem or is this a team size problem? How do you guys identify your customers?
Well, we initially thought that the no-brainer kind of target was any company that is an agency of some sort. So it's a consultancy that just has outside clients. Could be a development shop, could be an ad agency, any really marketing agency. For very obvious reasons, you know, they probably are using Slack internally and they need to talk to all these other people. And there just aren't great options other than email and Skype. And this is where you start immediately getting into this fragmentation. So we sent about 9,000 cold emails to a very, very well curated kind of emails to all sorts of agencies and got zero money out of those, actually.
9,000?
9,000. $0.
Wow.
Two signups.
Okay.
So it became clear to us that, at the same time, we started writing blog posts and just publishing these integrations online. And 99% of our signups come just from searching for this stuff on Google. And they're agencies, they're development shops. So it's that same audience. We just, it's like selling migraine medicine to people who don't yet have a migraine is actually impossible.
Right.
But once they do have a migraine, it's pretty easy.
So you guys doubled down on an SEO channel and did you do extra work to kind of move up in those rankings once you saw that worked?
So the amazing thing is we don't have a competitor yet at all. So it's kind of this Goldilocks area for us where it's a very complicated technology. So it's really not that easy to enter the space. And there's no one fighting for the keywords on Google. So every single article that we have is number one.
Wow.
Immediately. The next day will be number one. And
okay.
That's valuable. That's really the only way it's working right now.
Wow, that's cool. So do you have the articles as an inbound strategy? Did you give up on the sales strategy then?
Yeah, it's just a waste of time.
Yeah. it's interesting.
Andre, when we were talking earlier, you mentioned something that I thought was interesting and we hadn't talked a bit about yet on the show, which is hiring immigrants to come and work here and some of the challenges you faced and why you're passionate about that.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background in that and some of the things that you've been working to do on that front?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's good to say that both my co-founder and I, we are immigrants. He's from Western Ukraine. I'm from Siberia. So middle of Russia. And I came to San Francisco when I was 13. This is, you know, just before high school. he graduated from college with a master's degree in computer science and moved to the U.S., also to San Francisco in 2000. And then a couple of years later, we met. So basically, we speak Russian. It makes very easy. It's relatively easy for us to hire Russian-speaking engineers, which is an awesome resource of like engineering talent. Problem is they live in Russia or Ukraine, and we clearly see this problem where nobody really wants to live in Russia, but then there just isn't that much choice. Bringing people here is a lottery, right? So which you probably lose based on just kind of the numbers of people who are trying to get here. So that's been a very interesting experience for us. It's also interesting that, you know, we have a distributed team, which is actually very, a very good team and a very kind of a motivated team, but we haven't met some of our employees in person ever. Our longest serving engineer, we had worked with him at a previous company, which is where we found him. We met him after 3 years of working with him very, very closely. Now he lives in Fairfield, California.
Did you bring him over?
We brought him over. So we lost the H-1B lottery twice. Then we brought him over on a trainee visa, which is a J-1 visa. It's 18 months. And now he'll have to go back home in March.
So take me through, because I know very little. What is the H-1B visa?
So H-1B is the... it's basically the official way to bring foreign professionals to work for you in the United States. And there's a quota. And I think the quota is about 80,000 people, that 80,000 visas that are available. I'm actually not an expert. And I think 20,000 of those are reserved for academia.
Okay.
Or something like that. And then it's like 60,000 for, VC-funded companies and such, and the Googles of the world.
Okay.
And this year, I think there were maybe 400,000 applicants.
Wow.
Or 360, something pretty kind of, not great odds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lottery system? Is that, sorry, Joel.
Yeah, lottery.
So it's completely random?
That's what they say.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear that Facebook never loses, so I'm not sure that it's like that random.
So what are the advantages for you to continue to hire employees from Russia or elsewhere if your goal is to try and bring them over, but the odds of that are very low?
Well, we only... bring them over if they want to, or we tell them that we'll try, mm-hmm. and not right away. The reason that it's great is because it's many times cheaper to employ these people. So you can hire four very good engineers for the price of, I don't know, one mercenary engineer in the Bay Area. Mercenary means they'll leave in 18 months to. Mm. Company that's going to pay them 30% more money. And that's really what we're seeing. This is why the insanity is going on. It's so, yeah. So bad. And we just don't want to play that game at all. So the motivation is very, very strong. Also, a distributed position is actually a great perk for a lot of people, family people, people with kids. They don't need to go to the office to socialize. They just need to avoid, commuting an hour and a half each day so that they can see their kids more. So that's a huge incentive for a lot of our employees to just, actually keep working with us because it's a very nice work environment. Also, outside of the Silicon Valley, it's not that easy to find a good job working on an interesting problem, not working at a services company, not working for an agency. So you know, there, we have an advantage in the, in this case. We can basically hire the best people, in Russia or anywhere else. And it just gets a little fuzzy in the Bay Area. It's just too much activity here.
So how do you go about, hiring?
It's mostly, people who want to work with us. They'll just send us an email, and then we have a very simple interview process. And this is engineers. Hiring for other positions is much more difficult.
Right.
Most, our biggest success has been essentially just people reaching out to us, and also word of mouth. It's usually starts with finding one great person, and then they know people, and then it kind of starts mm-hmm. from there. And then, you know, once people start hearing about you, they'll start emailing and asking if there are positions available.
Interesting.
Yeah, very cool. So I'm curious, you guys have this distributed team, you have a product that integrates all of these services. What are you guys using internally to communicate?
We got off of Cato in August. So I think early August, and we chose Fleep.io, which is it's a small startup in Estonia.
Oh.
We chose them because they're one of maybe three small players left in the space, and we want to support, you know, we want fragmentation. We want to support
right.
someone else. It's a very interesting product, and we actually like a lot of it. They started around the same time as Slack and Cato, and they've just been, you know, plowing along. Fleep has an amazing integration with email. It's basically built by Skype engineers. So a lot of the Skype ideas are brought to Fleep and done much, much better. And this is only text. There's nothing to do with video or audio.
Okay.
I'll tell you, we just built a really, really cool integration between Intercom and Slack. So it's a bi-directional integration that lets you reply to customer questions and requests from Slack.
Mm-hmm.
And we started using Slack for this. So now we kind of use Fleep and Slack. Really we have accounts everywhere else as well.
Right.
but right now we've been, for the first time, I think I've been using Slack quite a bit for this, just for customer support. We probably do maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 conversations per day. So there is a load there. So
okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. And what's your opinion of Slack now that you guys have pivoted?
Well, it's a platform, which is great because, selling Slack is really hard to companies. We don't have to do this anymore.
Mm.
So we tried doing that. It's almost impossible. They did the work for us. I think it's missing a bunch of the stuff that we built into Cato, which is too bad. I wish that, you know, the goodness of Cato was available, but it's not, not yet. And, but otherwise, you know, it's a great API, it's pretty stable. They have lots of money. They'll make it better. Everyone's using it, which is easy. So we can finally charge Slack users money. That's fantastic.
Right.
We even charge free Slack users money. Which is,
really?
Well, yeah, because people don't pay for Slack, but they pay for Same Room. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. This has been great. Tell us, where can we keep up with you and Same Room online?
We have a blog, of course, at sameroom.io/blog. Our Twitter, it's Same Room HQ. Twitter is not very noisy, to the point.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Andre.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And be sure to check out our app discount section, where we have discounts on products that we use every day, like Woo Themes, Wistia, Treehouse. Go to rocketship.fm/essentials and get your discounts today.